Man, everyone's joining the party in just bashing Juju Smith-Schuster. Now, full disclosure, I saw the tweet like right when it happened. And when I saw it, I kind of chuckled because whether you take out if it was right or wrong, if you just look at it, is it funny? Which I think we sometimes struggle to do in this society a lot of times. I look at the tweet where everyone has, right, every year these crappy kind of memes about Valentine's Day where you put someone on a card and then you have some funny text to it. So it was a photo of James Bradberry after the controversial hold in the Super Bowl, which I've said this before, I'll say it again. You could call holding on every play, but the way the game was being officiated, I would not have thrown the flag. I thought there was more egregious stuff. Heck, Bradberry held Juju earlier in the game. It should have been called. It wasn't called. And you saw Bradberry. I know he didn't really fight it afterwards. I know after the game he said, hey, I held him, all that. He took responsibility, so that was classy. But usually when a player gets held, even if it's something that you look at, you go, oh, he's not even getting called. Like, that's even actually holding. You usually see a player, like, flailing his arms up in the air, begging for the flag. Now, the quarterbacks always do that. You saw Mahomes do that in the Super Bowl. But Hickey, I think Juju was even surprised. I know what he said after the game. Oh, 100%, blah, 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 blah. But I think Juju was even surprised in the moment that they called holding.
It was one of those, again, close plays where technically by the letter of the law, was it a hold? Yes. One of those tight, you know, big moment kind of moments. But hey, yeah, Juju's on the beneficiary and he's now...
I wonder if he now
soaking it in.
I didn't listen to his entire post-game press conference. And also, win or lose, I take everything that everyone says in a post-game press conference when the emotions are so raw like that with a grain of salt. But I wonder if we could talk to Juju like 3 or 4 days from now when the emotions kind of settle down and you move past all this stuff today that happened with the Valentine's Day card that we'll get into in just a second. If he actually thought that holding was going to get called in that spot. Because I would bring that up to him like, hey, Juju, earlier in the game, you were begging the refs to throw the flag and they didn't. Late in that game on the 3rd and 8, you weren't begging for the flag or you didn't like throw your arms up in the air as it happened once the ball sailing over your head. Why was that? I'd just be curious what the response would be. But anyway, the tweet today, once again, whether you think it's right or wrong is irrelevant right now. I just thought it was funny. When he does the Valentine's Day background and he puts James Bradberry on it and he goes, I'll hold you when it matters most. Now, I saw this right away and I'm like, okay, what would be a witty response? And then I put the picture of the rest and I go, we'll always be there for you. And that thing ended up doing viral. It has like over 700 impressions right now. But a lot of players in the NFL, they think that this was extremely disrespectful. And it's different from what you and I think. It's different what people outside the NFL player fraternity think, because I think a lot of times on Twitter, we do have fun and it sometimes gets taken for being way too serious. And I understand what the platform is, but Micah Parsons, I thought brings up a point that even though I have no problem with the Juju tweet, he's 100% right. Micah Parsons tweeted out, damn, social media has allowed players' social media skills be better than their football skills. That is that is a savage response by Micah Parsons because he's basically saying Juju's really good at social media, but he's an average NFL player.
Not wrong. Yeah, I love Micah Parsons. At least he can back up on the field his play so he can kind of run his mouth on social media. Juju Smith-Schuster, is he in that category? I'd say no.
But then it also gets into the thing where players sometimes go after media members, right? Oh, well, did you actually play the game? So what do you actually know about the games? It's one of those arguments. Like, you have to be good at football to then necessarily that be the deciding factor. And Juju's good, but he's not a great player in why you would or would not put up a tweet like that. Like, there's some really good analysts that cover the NFL and talk about the NFL and critical that had dog crap NFL careers and that were bad players, but I still think they're allowed to give their opinion. But I think from a player side of it, like Micah Parsons, he's looking at it as how a lot of players look at it. If you're going to put something out there like that, which he thought is disrespectful, you better have the clout and you better have the stats and the accolades and all the awards to go on it on the field. And he clearly doesn't think, of Juju in that way. And I kind of guess I understand what Micah Parsons is saying.
Also true, I mean, it takes smack talk to a wholly, totally different level because, I mean, the odds are not all, I'd say maybe half the tweets that athletes put out there kind of clapping back at one another.
Yeah.
It would not be said pregame at the 50-yard line. Like, is Juju Smith-Schuster really going to sit there in James Bradberry's face and basically give him this card, this face on it? I'd probably say no.
Well, the reason why he wouldn't, it was because of the holding that occurred in the game. That's why it's funny. Like, he didn't know before the game that there was going to be a holding.
Another game next week.
Okay.
And that's more. Like, people now, like, just you're more inclined to run your mouth and talk smack on social media because you're not facing the person either again this season or you're not facing them face-to-face when you're sending out the tweet. So that's why I think it's also easier to have Twitter fingers. That's also true in real life and, line of work.
We're now in a hold-me-back kind of society.
And I think that's part of these tweets like we're seeing where you can kind of just pop off like this.
Like, I'll say this all the time, and I know our platform isn't as big as a Juju Smith-Schuster, but I'll get some nasty, disgusting, vile tweets directed my way. Anytime I've ever been stopped in public, whether it's at an event like the draft or the Super Bowl that we were just at, or someone that listens to me comes up to me, I've never had someone come up to me and be like, "You suck. You don't know what you're talking about." But there's, like, for example, I go to the Super Bowl, and I post some photos of me, and I have people commenting like, "Time to retire your shoes, bro." Because I was wearing Air Force Ones, and there was like, I guess there was a little bit of a crease in the Air Force Ones. Like, find someone that has size 15 shoes that wears them all the time that's not going to have a crease in the shoe. Or some guy that drew like the outline of my body. And I think I'm in decent shape these days. Like, I'm not in wonderful shape, but I lost 70 pounds. And I'm like, "Oh, real athletic body you have." So we critique appearance a lot on social media and things a lot. But then when you go out in public and people say hello to you, it's never like, "Oh, you suck. You're horrible. You're a word that I can't say on the radio." You know, like, that's just what it is. And I think a lot of times, like, you're probably right. Would maybe Juju do this in a form of a TikTok before a game? Yeah. Would he walk up to James Bradberry before a game? Like, let's say if they open up on Thursday night and both those guys are still on their respective teams, would he go up and start talking smack? No. Do I think James Bradberry would then walk up and maybe say something, or A.J. Brown before a game? Yeah, I do. I think on the other end, absolutely that would have been the case.
And now all he's doing is putting a big target on his back, whether he's in Kansas City next year, whether wherever he is.
I guess.
Not just the Eagles. I think other defensive backs will see that and play harder.
Now, well, I don't know if they play harder because I don't know if James Bradberry is going to be on the team next year. He is a free agent as well. If he's there, then it becomes a story if Juju's going up against the Eagles. But if he's not there, they may be annoyed at him. But then I think it blows over by then. But anyway, A.J. Brown's tweet here is, first off, congratulations in response to Juju. Y'all deserve it. This is lame, though. You were on the way out of the league before Mahomes resurrected your career on your one-year deal, TikTok boy. He admitted that he grabbed you, but don't act like you're like that or ever was. But congratulations again. That, to me, is just A.J. Brown saying, "Dude, he said he held you. This is disrespectful. You were basically known for doing TikToks before games, and then Mahomes saved your ass." Which,
can't spot the lie.
Tell me where there's a lie. Now, LeGarrette Blount and also, I told you the Micah Parsons tweet of, "Damn, social media has allowed players' social media skills to be better than their football skills. Hashtag sad." You know what I'm going to think now about, by the way, every time I see Micah Parsons?
His foot fetish?
Oh, no.
No.
No, that's not what it was. Whatever. That doesn't really affect me. He was at the Super Bowl, and you saw him walking around Radio Row. I was out for dinner, and he was the table over from me. I was right next to him, table over, and he found out about the Kevin Durant trade, which was pretty cool to see the athlete react. But I think actually the most impressive thing, I don't know how old this kid is. His kid can't be any older than 5. So 5 years old or less. His kid was up. I was at dinner at like, it was 10 p.m. on the West Coast. His kid was up like housing a meal at the dinner table in a high chair. It was one of the more impressive things I've seen. I don't know, maybe 3, 4, 5, whatever it is. How the kid was at the table, like 8, 9 people at the table, just housing a meal at 10 p.m. at night. I couldn't believe that, Hickey. It was
good
awesome
for him, living the life. Man, steak at, on a Wednesday night at 10 o'clock. I mean, what beats that as a 3-year-old? Life I won't be living.
Yeah, sorry, Dad, if you're listening. I wish Micah Parsons was my father. Imagine a steak dinner at 3 years old.
That kid's going to be strong, I could imagine,
yeah,
when he gets older.
I'll take a future right now. That kid's going to be a future NFL star. There is no doubt about that. You know, forget about Arch Manning and all this hype about Arch Manning. Wait until Micah Parsons' kid gets ready to run through a defense.
Until he crushes Arch Manning.
Yeah.
Tackles, amends his career.
And then also, how about LeGarrette Blount? Now, you know LeGarrette Blount. He's never afraid to speak his mind. I always enjoy our conversations whenever we talk to LeGarrette Blount. LeGarrette Blount quoted the Juju Smith-Schuster tweet. 172 yards in the last 6 games, parentheses, Super Bowl included, of the season and no TDs. Who held you then? Don't be a bleep head and continue to play your role on an already great team with a great coach. Congrats to my guy, and he tagged Travis Kelce, and the future of the NFL tags Patrick Mahomes. Y'all did y'all thing. That's a body bag moment. He was already in the body bag after the Micah Parsons tweet. After the LeGarrette Blount tweet, Juju Smith-Schuster is really in a body bag. They have an extra layer around the body bag to make sure nothing happens.
I think that's where he wants to be, though. Like, I don't think he's actually getting mad at any of these tweets. I think he's actually enjoying probably all the attention he's getting for this tweet.
I guess.
Like, he has to know. I know players, like, you know, you all think, like, I'm the best. Like, you know, there's no doubt I'm the best. He has to realize. Look,
it was funny.
Funny, but also, like, I'm not that. Like, I am not the best receiver in the NFL.
But I don't think he thinks that. I'm not saying he thinks he's the best wide receiver in the league, but I think he believes he's a star. There's a lot of guys that are not great players that think they're great players and that think their careers are a whole lot better. Like, for example, I see Freddie Mitchell commented on this. Freddie Mitchell, the former Eagles wide receiver who made the 4th-and-26 play, he blames Donovan McNabb for his career not getting to the potential that people thought it could go to. Like, that was on you, Freddie Mitchell. So there's a lot of guys that think they're a lot better and that they're stars that actually aren't stars. Juju's a solid wide receiver. He's not a one, though. There was used to be a debate, is he more of a one or a two? And I used to say 1.5. Kind of like a 2, 2.5 wide receiver now. Outside of that 1,400-yard season, he's not done much in the NFL. Where what we thought the receiver he could be, he's had a disappointing career. Would you agree with that?
I'm trying to remember where he was drafted. I don't think he was a first-round pick, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, I know he's you know, some hype out of USC, but disappointing is interesting. I would say it's been a decent career so far.
Second-round pick.
I'd say decent.
But when you have a 1,400-yard season...
I get it. I mean, we've
done anything
plenty
since
of athletes,
then.
You know, have one or two big years and then kind of
1,400 yards is a pretty damn big year.
Yeah, no, it is. But I'm saying, like, we've also seen plenty of receivers and players in general rip off big years and then not, you know, not be able to back it up. One-hit wonders.
He's had a very disappointing career. 1,400 yards.
The hype was there. I guess that's what it is.
When he had the 1,400-yard season, there was a lot of hype there.
And you quickly saw, oh, well, now when you take away Antonio Brown,
sure,
he's the number one guy, he can't do it. So that's where it's like, I don't think like we ever thought, like no one said when the Chiefs signed him, that's the missing piece. That's the guy that's going to replace Tyreek Hill.
Yes,
and this
because there was a
be
lot
fine
of disappointing years after that. The 1,400-yard year was in 2018. That's 4 years that have passed by then. Ever since that 1,400-yard year, and he said he was a star, And all the fame that he got with that, he's had an extremely disappointing career. I don't even know if he's had, how many yards has he had since that 1,400-yard season? Let me do this math real quickly. 552 plus 831 plus 129 and then plus 933 this year. Divide that by four, 611 yards a season. Now, I know the 1 year he only played five games, but that's pretty damn disappointing. We were having legit debates, is he a number one wide receiver? Now we're talking about, is he more of a two or a three? So I think he's had a very disappointing career. Here's the bottom line on this. I think he was doing it to troll and be funny. I don't know if he thought that, and I would think he didn't expect the reaction to be this over the top. You know, you get blowback and pushback, but I haven't seen anyone really defend him. Not at all.
I mean, what is there to actually defend?
In terms of, oh, guys, it was just funny. Like, this was just a fun, I thought it was a funny message.
Like, it's fun. The tweet itself is funny. I'm not disagreeing. I just, like.
Did you think he anticipated that every single player pretty much in the league would be tweeting today, dude, you're trash. You shouldn't be tweeting something like this.
Maybe not everyone. I think he knew what he was doing. I think he had a pretty good idea that this kind of storm was coming his way, and he just thought, you know what, I'm going to laugh and enjoy everyone getting mad and kind of just laugh at their frustration more than anything else.
Honestly, LeGarrette Blount's right. He's 100% right in the word choice that he used there when he called him a D-head then. That's how you're going to celebrate a championship? It's funny, don't get me wrong. But now at this parade tomorrow, whenever someone goes up to Juju Smith-Schuster, that's what they're going to be talking about. So you made your own bed, now go lie in it. But at the end of the day, you have the ring, you have the championship. But seems like this is more of a guy that did very minimal work. That's the best way to say it. Did very minimal work on the group project, and now he's trying to take the credit as if he's the greatest thing ever. You got a ticky-tack hold against you. Outside of that, I know he had 50-something yards in the Super Bowl and like six or seven catches. We're not sitting here and talking this great way. All right, you're not even talking about this great way about Juju Smith-Schuster now, but you're not really talking about Juju Smith-Schuster's performance in the Super Bowl if it wasn't for the fact that Bradberry had that ticky-tack hold against him. Oh. It's funny. I get it. But then when you look at it, like if you're Juju, was the juice really worth the squeeze for you on that one? I probably would have passed, but then once again, I did appreciate how witty he was, and I did think the tweet, if you take away if it was right or wrong, was extremely funny. Overreaction, proper reaction. Next, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Another NFL week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team. Help! Help! Which takes are truly crazy.
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying? No.
And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
By the way, Hickey, I'm very happy that in the commercial break, I ran downstairs and got my salad because it reminded me of something.
What is that?
I'm 95% sure. Now, I was running there during the break and running back, so I wanted to make sure I got back in time. So I should have probably said something. I think I saw someone that is a reality TV star. Star is a stretch. Is on a reality TV show.
Okay.
And it reminded me, that show is starting back up again.
Is it Succession?
No.
Oh. Oh, it's reality TV.
Reality TV.
I have no idea. I have no idea what the TV schedule is these days.
So it's not Jersey Shore. I caught up on Jersey Shore today because I missed it last week when we were away for the Super Bowl.
Real Housewives? I can see being a Real Housewives guy.
100%.
Oh, my.
Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Holy cow.
I started watching it last year because Tiki Barber was on the show. And I guess Tiki and his wife didn't get renewed for the season, but I think I'm still going to watch it now.
Okay.
I did not know that a new season started last week on February 7th. Teresa, who's like the star.
Judice?
Yes, of Real Housewives of New Jersey. Her new husband, Louis, who's a very interesting guy. And there's a lot of things that may or may not have been done in his past that make you raise an eyebrow. I'm like, ooh.
Huh.
95% sure he was walking out of Westville as I was walking in to go get my salad.
Wow, Louie.
And then I went and searched, when does Real Housewives of New Jersey start back up? And he's a major storyline, I guess, is what I'm reading in the first episode.
Now, I'm guessing this is already filmed, right? So, like, there was no camera crew.
No, yeah.
Following him, like, yeah. That you could, you know, make a quick celeb shot.
Also, him just being on his own at a restaurant, I don't think is.
Well, maybe
really
he's going somewhere afterwards. I don't know. I've never really seen
they
the show.
In
so, what?
You film reality TV shows like you go to a place for a month, and then you film together as a group. It's not like him just going to be walking alone
on the street
in New York.
Wait, they don't film at home? Isn't Real Housewives of New, like, they're not at home filming this?
Yeah, but then they also, like, so for example, last year they went to Nashville for like a week. Like, there's other storylines. It's, put it this way.
Got it.
Him just walking around New York City getting dinner is
boring.
Not going to be filmed.
Okay.
Unless he stormed off and then there was camera crews following him as he stormed off to Westville.
Maybe him and Teresa were supposed to have dinner.
Come on.
He canceled. She canceled. He said, I'm going to Westville. Screw it.
Yeah.
No. And then stormed. That could have been a headliner, but
it's all right. Okay.
Well, now you're ready to go. And
you should be an expert in script writing. Well, all of us are now experts in script writing when it comes to the NFL. You got to know that's not going to be in the script. Him just running into Zach Gelb at Westville.
Well, you need some B-roll. You know, you need not everything is going to be 100%. You know, there are some dead periods within the show, within the season.
No, they film it, they record it, and they make it entertaining each and every week. So you don't really have a bad show. But it's all right. Okay, Gavin, see the questions there.
All right, let's get back to unscripted or according to some scripted reality, and that is the NFL. So with the season
definitely scripted.
Of course, definitely scripted. It's never too early to start talking about next year, right, Zach? So Caesars already put their odds out for best chance to get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl next year. No shock, Chiefs, number one. Number two. The San Francisco 49ers with the Eagles, the reigning NFC champs, coming in at fourth overall. They are the second highest odds in the NFC. So overreaction or proper reaction, you agree with Caesars that the 49ers are the team to beat in the NFC next season.
Overreaction, because right now I don't even know who their quarterback's going to be. And the 49ers used to be a likable team. How much crying they did after the NFC title game, like I give you a week, but how that carried over into Super Bowl week. I'm out on the 49ers. They have an incredible roster, but too much bitching and complaining from the 49ers after a game that they lost.
All right. Too much bitching and complaining. They are out. So I guess Eagles for you still?
Yeah, I guess. It's not like really a strong NFC.
Cowboys?
No. What, to choke in the wild card round?
The Lions? How about the Lions? Can we get behind Detroit here?
I know you're saying this in kind of a sarcastic
yes.
way. If I had to give you a long shot to get to the Super Bowl next year in the NFC, like a long, long shot, I'd sprinkle a few shekels on the lines.
All righty. Dan Campbell biting those kneecaps all the way to the Super Bowl, maybe. Let's see. All right, before we get there, we have a lot of different quarterback
and
questions
to answer.
And
then in that Super Bowl, Goff would just do nothing. They lose.
Well, unless he's maybe going against someone that's not Bill Belichick. Who knows? Maybe that's just the kryptonite. Patriots will make it there. All of a sudden, he could tear up Bengals defense, Chiefs defense.
Yeah, well, according to Howard Eskin, you know, Belichick's a...
Well, Belichick.
Yeah.
Howard Eskin's words.
Crap coach, though.
So it should be actually easy to take advantage of his defense. Maybe you're hoping to play the Patriots next year.
You know, it was all Brady, though. So Belichick gets no credit for that defensive performance in that Super Bowl. None. Zero. According to Howard Eskin, who...
Definitely not a source.
Well, wasn't that funny? And I love Howard. But wasn't that funny last night? He's like, well, Brady really only has 5 Super Bowls. And then when you argue, well, if you're going to argue, you could take a few away because other teams blew it, then can't you just argue the other way that teams got lucky to beat them too? So,
like Steve Spagnuolo saying that he counts Andy Reid as having 5
yeah.
Super Bowls. I'm just going to start making it up.
I did laugh at that one too.
Peyton Manning, I think in my mind, he has 8 yeah. Super Bowls. So, you know what? He's truly number 1.
You know what? I win the Super Bowl each and every year. Yeah, I'm like Trump when Trump goes to his golf course. I win the club championship each and every year.
It is funny. People want to believe sometimes what they want to see and truly what they want to believe. All right, this offseason, quarterback-wise, should be another busy one. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers, again, his future is up in the air. Will the Packers move on for him? Will he be traded? Will he return? The Ravens and Lamar Jackson's drama is another team we'll be watching. The Raiders need a quarterback. There's a lot of teams that will have either quarterbacks that could be traded or a new need to make a big move. Overreaction or proper reaction, the Ravens are the team you are most intrigued with this offseason.
Ooh, great question. Most intrigued with. I would say proper reaction, at least in the AFC, because I don't think the Lamar deal's going to get done. The question is he just going to request a trade this offseason? In the NFC, it's Green Bay, because I just want to simply see if Rodgers gets traded. I think that will happen, but you never know with Rodgers. Like, he go on this darkness retreat and come back and see a new light, right? And go, oh, I want to stay in Green Bay. I'll go overreaction just because I think the Rodgers story is a bigger storyline, where I do think it's either going to be you finish your career in Green Bay after this year, or you're going to a new team. With Lamar, I could see it carrying over into next year as well, where they make him play 1 year out on the franchise tag.
All right, we know the New York Jets are a team that's going to be in the market for a new quarterback, and they are trying their best to bolster their at least coaching staff to get a chance at some of the best quarterbacks on the market. They have hired this offseason Nathaniel Hackett, who has ties to Aaron Rodgers. They have just hired recently Todd Downing, who has ties to Derek Carr. Overreaction or proper reaction? The Jets this offseason will land either Derek Carr or Aaron Rodgers.
Overreaction. I think Derek Carr is going to the Saints. I think the Raiders are getting Rodgers. And I'll say the New York Jets, back to my original prediction, which I've changed, and now I'm going back to it, Jimmy Garoppolo. You could see Jimmy G being the quarterback of the Jets with all the tabloids and everything. Now, he's a good-looking dude. Well, I don't know if he's married. I think he's still dating someone. He'll have fun in New York.
Oh, he will. That he will, and so will the cameras, and like I said, Page Six and all the other tabloids will have fun following him around, that's for sure.
Where's Carr play next year?
I'm going to say the Buccaneers.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to keep track of this. I'm going to ask this each and every week.
Okay.
Where is Jimmy G playing?
I will go with the Raiders.
Okay. And where's Rodgers playing?
Miami Dolphins.
Okay. Marco, let's get your predictions in here. Derek Carr, where's he playing?
Saints.
Okay, so we are in agreement there. Jimmy G.
Raiders.
Ooh. And Rodgers.
Jets.
Gotcha. Okay. So I'm going Carr to the Saints, Jimmy G to the Jets, Rodgers to the Raiders. Hickey's going Carr to the Bucks, Jimmy G to the Raiders, and Rodgers to the Dolphins. And Marco's taking Carr to the Saints like me. He's having Rodgers going to the Jets, and then hot take Hickey. Or excuse me, Jimmy G going to the Raiders, excuse me. And then Hickey has Rodgers going to the Jets. Or you have Rodgers going to the Jets. Sorry. I wrote this down all
okay?
confusing.
All right.
Yeah. You know, it's Tuesday after the Super Bowl.
It's all right.
Too much celebrating.
Waste Management Open. Wasn't that?
Not wrong. That's like an all-week hangover. All right, next question.
Speaking of Super Bowl week, we just know the Chiefs are the latest Super Bowl champs. They won their second title in 4 years. Overreaction or proper reaction, the Chiefs will win another Super Bowl within the next 2 seasons.
That seems right. I'll go proper reaction. I know that the AFC is loaded with quarterbacks, but we said that going into this year, and look who prevailed. It was Patrick Mahomes. So I'll say they'll get another one in the next 2 years.
All right, two more here. The head coaching searches have finally been over. Two teams who had openings today made it official. The Colts have hired Shane Steichen. Cardinals have hired Jonathan Gannon, both coming from the Eagles. That also now lends with the Panthers hiring Frank Reich, Broncos hiring Sean Payton, and the Texans hiring D'Amico Ryans. Overreaction or proper action, the Cardinals, of the five teams of the head coach opening, made the worst hire.
So I think the best hire was Sean Payton going to the Broncos, then D'Amico Ryans going to the Texans, then Frank Reich third going to the Panthers. How do you differentiate Gannon to the Cardinals and then Steichen to the Colts? I think they're basically the same with what Steichen did on the offensive side of the ball and Gannon being on the defensive side of the ball. So they're tied for that final spot. So I can't say they made the worst hire because it's tied with Steichen, I guess. So I guess I'm answering an overreaction because I can't differentiate one over the other.
And finally, speaking of hiring, someone who was not hired this cycle again was Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy. Now, there are some reports and thoughts that maybe he might leave the Chiefs this offseason in order to become an offensive coordinator somewhere else. Teams like the Commanders have already been speculated about being interested in Bieniemy's services. So, overreaction or proper reaction, Eric Bieniemy does need to leave the Chiefs in order to become a head coach one day.
He should be a head coach already, but I think that's a proper reaction. And that's not always the case for everyone that's on, like, let's say, the offensive side of the ball with the legendary offensive coach. Usually you see someone like that get a job, but in this case, that has not been the scenario yet. And I never thought for a second, really like the last 2 years, I never thought for a second Bieniemy would get hired, because we've now talked about him potentially getting hired for so many years. So even though if I'm him, I don't know if I'm running to leave Kansas City, but if you look at a team and you like their scenario, I would then probably do it, because then if there's any doubt for whatever the stupid reason is on Eric Bieniemy, if let's say you go to a place, I don't know, give me a destination.
Commanders, yeah, with the opening right now.
And you make their offense really have some life. I know that the Ravens is already filled, but like if he went to the Ravens or something, where Harbaugh's not an offensive-minded coach, Rivera's not an offensive-minded coach, you're basically, without a doubt, running the offense. And if you do well for a year or two, then there's just no reason why the guy shouldn't get a job. So I kind of think at this point, he's got to create some more excitement about him, which is just stupid to say with how good he's been. But until he leaves, I'm not like, leaves the organization to go somewhere else, I'm not expecting him to get a head coaching job.
Would it hurt just to stay at this point? Like, Andy Reid seemingly is not going to retire anytime soon. Is it worth just staying and be the coach in waiting if he retires in 5 years?
How do you know that he's guaranteed to be the coach in waiting, though?
Well, I mean, you talk to the Chiefs, and if Andy Reid, who talks glowingly about Eric Bieniemy any chance he gets, if he says, if you stay, you know, you'll be my replacement whenever I leave, there's no guarantee I'll leave even in 5 years. But if he leaves in 5 years, you have Patrick Mahomes at age 32, 33. I think it's interesting.
Now, that was the thought when McDaniels left your team at the altar, and Belichick never walked away.
Correct.
Boeheim had a coach in waiting. He's still just being an old, decrepit dinosaur.
I actually forgot about that. Jeez, you're right.
So it's a nice thought, a nice theory. But if Andy Reid sticks around for another 7 years, you want to wait another 7 years if you're Eric Bieniemy? That's why I would leave.
I get it.
If he's really set on becoming head coach, and I think he is.
Right now, the opportunities are not coming, so I wonder if sometimes you're just best served staying where you are.
It's fair. Is that it?
That is it.
Okay. Marco, I've been waiting this entire show to get your take on this, so I hope you deliver.
But interesting.
I look at you as like the fatherly figure here of our radio show. Nice way of just saying you're the oldest one of the bunch.
Yep.
What'd you think of the Juju Smith-Schuster tweet today with James Bradbury?
Clown.
I knew you were
just a complete and total clown.
Now, can you just be honest? I understand you could think it's right or wrong, and most people think it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It is funny. It's a funny tweet. Like, I chuckled when I saw it. And I go, I was just very excited to see what the responses were going to be.
Here's the thing, and I realize this is going to come off as old man, get off my lawn.
Yeah.
You want to do that? That's great. Get his number, text it to him, and it'll be funny. You put it on social media, you're no longer doing it for the funny aspect of what it was. You're trying to get attention for yourself, and you're doing it a day after somebody lost the Super Bowl. You're a clown.
Especially, it would be one thing, right? And I'm not saying that this would be right, but it'd be one thing if Bradbury, like, just totally went off on the officiating or something like that, and you're trying to get under his skin. The fact that Bradbury said, I held you, that I thought that was a classy move when he could have taken the other side.
Yeah, he took accountability, which is rare in these days.
It feels like he shouldn't be trolled for this. But I did still think it was funny.
It's just the idea that, like, look, I'm all for, like, if you want to bust chops, there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
But you do it one-on-one, because that's the point of busting chops, is it not? It's not to bust chops where there's two guys in the room, but then there's 50 other people standing there watching, and I'm waiting for the crowd to react. That's why I'm busting your chops. That's what this is.
Well, consider
and that's
the
garbage
source.
To me.
Remember, this is the same guy with all the TikToks and everything.
Again, that's the garbage part of it for me. That's the clown aspect. You're not doing it because you're trying to, have some little bit of fun. You're trying to make everyone else think you're hilarious and you're funny. Well, congratulations. You're a clown.
So I asked this to Hickey. Did you think, you knew you were going to get some backlash for this. Like, every player is just ripping him and just destroying his career. A.J. Brown say, dude, you were literally, like, known for TikToks until Patrick Mahomes saved your career. LeGarrette Blount called him a D-head. Micah Parsons even saying now there's guys that go on Twitter and they think they're stars, but they're really not.
Mm.
I think he was trying to do this to troll and be funny. I don't think he thought that, or it didn't even cross his mind that everyone in the NFL would be just ripping him today.
Well, you know what? Think before you do stuff. Like, well, again, like, if you come back, oh, I didn't realize everybody would be so mad at me. Well,
yeah.
then don't be an ass. Like, I don't feel bad for that. You're not going to get a lot of sympathy out of me. That's not great. A good enough excuse for me. I don't want
to
hear it.
That's why I was waiting all day to hear your take, because I knew it'd be something like just, that. Don't be an ass.
Well,
I love that.
I mean, it's but you get around like, oh, I didn't realize everybody'd be so mad at me.
Yeah.
Oh, so you wanted everyone to get a reaction. You thought you were going to be the funniest guy in the room, and now you're upset because people didn't react the way you wanted them to react?
To be clear, I'm not saying
I had sympathy
for him, but I just wonder when he's going through this, if he ever thought for a second, man, I'm really going to get dragged here.
You know, life lesson. Think before you actually do something.
Think before you tweet.
Again, maybe stop tweeting. That might help you out a little bit. Maybe, you know what? You just won the Super Bowl. Why don't you go have some fun? Why don't you go enjoy winning the Super Bowl? You got to worry about that? Please.
It would be hilarious if Howie Roseman signs him this offseason.
Again, and that's different because that's business, and you may have to do it. And, you know, that's just the way it is. I get all that, but it's the idea that, like, I don't grasp the concept of, like, trying to get everyone. And again, for what? What?
Likes.
What do you want? You want followers?
Yeah.
That's your goal.
He's got 1.1 million already. I think he's good in that.
That's your goal in life?
To be the cool kid at
the high school table,
mm-hmm.
at the lunch table, like this is what it is. You just want a ring. You're worried about who's sitting at your table in high school.
He's the guy that put in the bare minimum effort in the group project, but still played like a very small role. And now he's running around with the paper saying, "I'm the reason why we got the A." That's what it is. Like, no one's really talking about Juju from that game if it wasn't for the fact that he may or may not have been held in that at the end of that game. Yeah, he was. Six, seven catches for 50-something yards. Not as if he had this wonderful game.
You're inconsequential to what exactly that they did. We all know that. But we're not going to take that away from you.
Yeah.
You earned the ring.
You're 1-53.
Just keep your mouth shut. It's not that hard. It's really not that hard.
We'll go to the closing bell next. Tell you whose stock is booming, whose stock is dooming.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Quick question before we get to the closing bell. Would you rather have Derek Carr or Jimmy G? Jimmy G is more of a winner. I do think Derek Carr is a better quarterback. And there's more upside. I would say Jimmy G's more consistent. But since I think neither are a franchise quarterback, I would take the guy that I think has more potential. I know both have been around for a long time. And also the guy that's healthier. Hickey, I would go, if I'm a team that needs a quarterback, Carr, Jimmy G, I would take Carr over Jimmy G.
Agreed. I mean, part of it's just reliability. Well, I want him on the field, and Derek Carr gives you that. Jimmy G does not. I'm with you.
All right, let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, give a stock up to Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon. You lose the Super Bowl one day, and then very quickly after that, you get a new fat contract. Going to be the head football coach with a promotion for Steichen, the Colts, and for Jonathan Gannon with the Arizona Cardinals. The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. The members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Chiefs linebacker Nick Bolton was all over the field on Sunday, recording a game-high 9 tackles in the 38-35 win. Bolton also scored a 36-yard touchdown off a Jalen Hurts fumble that tied the game in the second quarter. You could give Nick Bolton a stock up. I also thought in that game, something that's not being talked about enough, when you go into half, it's 24-14. Chiefs go right down the field. They make it 24-21. The next drive, the Eagles on a long drive. They're taking up a lot of the clock, and the third quarter is almost over. The Chiefs defense forced them to a field goal there where it's a 6-point game. If that goes back up to a 10-point game, can the Chiefs come back? Yes, but it makes it a lot tougher. And I don't know if we're sitting here today talking about the Chiefs as world champions. So nothing negative today. And that's all the time we got on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Big thanks to Cease Spagnuolo for joining us, the defensive coordinator for the world champion Kansas City Chiefs. And a big thank you to each and every one of you for calling, listening, and tweeting. And a big thanks to Hot Take Hickey for producing this extravaganza. Talk to you manana at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.